The market in 2023 is forcing investors to be buttoned up and review their financial portfolios like never before. Trusted friends of the Todd Stern Show, Legacy Precious Metals, they can help to advise you on the best options to invest in gold and silver, which both provide stability in times of market crisis. I know this company well, so speak directly to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals by calling 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. And today we are on indictment watch. I want to go ahead and make a prediction that the grand jury report is not going to come out today. Folks, there's something at work here, and I suspect that many Democrats, even though they will not say this publicly, privately, many Democrats are very concerned about the behavior of one Alvin Bragg, the district attorney there in New York City. So the reporting originally had been from yesterday that today the indictment would be handed down and that sometime next week Trump would be arraigned. But I'm telling you, I don't think that's going to happen. And there are still a lot of moving parts. We're going to be checking in with President Trump's spokesperson, Liz Harrington, this hour of the program. And we'll keep you updated on any sort of developments there. But I'm telling you that right now, this is a mess, a great big mess. I will say this, when you look at what's happening and how the district attorney in New York City has handled this case, it's very reminiscent of the old Soviet Union and the lead up to what became the Soviet Union. When you had the leader of the secret police, and he once said so infamously, "Show me the man, I will show you the crime." In other words, they would fabricate these crimes to throw political enemies in the gulag. This was the law of the land during Joseph Stalin's reign of terror. And look at what's been happening in this country really over the past several years, but this went on during the Obama administration, not to the extent it has under Joe Biden. But you've got the government now fabricating crimes to go after and punish pro-lifers, moms and dads who are concerned about what's happening in their public school system, law-abiding gun owners, even a former president of these great United States, fabricating crimes, trying to shoehorn a crime to fit whatever narrative they're trying to advance. And what's even worse, the mainstream media has become the de facto state media, state-run media. Now, the media seems to be caught up in all of the details of what did or did not happen between Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. Trump says, hey, we get these sorts of threats, accusations all the time. Stormy Daniels is on official record. She wrote about this in her book. She did many interviews. You can Google it. NBC News covered it. The Associated Press covered it. Many, many legacy media sites covered Stormy Daniels when she said that she did not have an affair with Donald Trump. So in many cases, if you're a person of wealth, if you're a person of means, it's just easier to pay these people off. Make them go away. You buy their silence. And as we've laid out here, if you're looking for a crime, the only crime that has been committed, if in fact a crime was committed, was a financial misdemeanor. And for that, the district attorney wants to literally handcuff and shackle Donald Trump. Keep in mind, this is a guy who received $1 million from George Soros. This is a man who campaigned on a promise to get Donald Trump. Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, campaigned on the same promise to get Donald Trump. They have weaponized the judicial system. Look at what's happening in Atlanta, Georgia, where once again you have a George Soros-funded district attorney going after President Trump. That one could get very ugly because apparently they're looking at RICO violations, suggesting that Trump was trying to coerce the Secretary of State into changing vote totals in the state of Georgia. But really, this is all about stopping Donald Trump and punishing political enemies. And this is why it is incumbent upon every freedom-loving American, and even I would appeal to some of you Democrats out there who still believe in the Constitution, who still believe in the rule of law. I have to hope and pray there are still some of you out there. And we all need to stand up and say, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to allow you to turn our country into some sort of a Soviet-style police state. We're just not going down that path. And my grave concern is that Republicans are going to return the favor if they ever get back in control of the House and this, pardon me, of the Senate and the White House. We cannot go down this path as a nation. We cannot be jailing our political enemies. And that's what's happening. So here we are. And instead of addressing this egregious attack on our way of life, and keep in mind, I saw this play out in Memphis just a couple of weeks ago. I'll give you a great example of this. There's been a raging war about police and policing here in Memphis. And so the other week, the city council was meeting, and they had tons of people showing up, and many of them were there to support the police. Typically, these people do not attend city council meetings. They have jobs. They have other responsibilities. But they took the day off. They drove downtown, put their lives in their own hands, and they went before the city council, and they sat there to show their support for the police officers. Now, on a typical city council meeting, there are about 100 or so of these raging left-wing activists. These people are radicals. These people would be in favor of Joseph Stalin. And when the conservatives got up to speak, every time they got up to speak, the leftists rose up and shouted them down. Now, at Memphis City Council, you have to give your name, first and last name, and you have to give your street address, where you live. And the radicals were actually writing down all of this information so they could go and bully and harass and terrorize these people in their homes. You know what happened at the next city council meeting? None of the pro-police conservatives showed up. Want to know why? Because they got bullied and intimidated. This is what the state police do. And the Democrats know that these radical groups out there in Memphis and Portland and wherever else, New York City, San Francisco, they will bully and silence conservatives. And by the way, I want to stop for just a moment and share some breaking news. Fox News now reporting what I just told you a few seconds ago, that the grand jury proceedings have been canceled for the day under mysterious circumstances. We'll get to more of that in just a few moments. So there you have it. But I had a feeling that something like that might happen. So anyway, this is what's happening in our country. There is this form of terror, and it's not even going out there and burning down somebody's house. It's the idea they could do it. The idea they could target your children at their public school or their private school. They want to silence the majority. Why do you think they call us the silent majority? Because people are just afraid to speak out. Folks, we cannot be afraid. We have to stand up and speak out. We have to do it legally. We have to be law-abiding about it, but we've got to speak out. Don't be a coward. So that brings me to the story of the presidential election and the Republican primary. And folks, I came under attack by conservatives today. And the reason I came under attack is because I asked a question about Ron DeSantis. And it was, in my estimation, a legitimate question. And I want to share the backstory with you. Because if you're on Twitter, you'll see the attacks and you'll see my response. First of all, here's what I believe. This is my overarching belief, if you will. I believe President Trump deserves a second crack at this. And the reason why is because of all of the lies they spewed about him during the lead up to the election in 2016 and throughout the entire presidency. You take all of that away, and they were all lies, all proven to be lies. You take all of that away, and guess what? You get a Trump second term, and you get one of the most successful presidencies of the modern presidential time. So I believe the man deserves another shot at it. I believe that Ron DeSantis should be his running mate. And I believe that Ron DeSantis will make a great president one day. But I think Trump deserves another shot. Does that mean I'm going to go out there and destroy Ron DeSantis? No, absolutely not. Why would I do that? Why would any of us do that? We should want a winning ticket in 2024, and I believe that would be a winning ticket, period. But apparently, Team DeSantis has organized some sort of an elite social media influencer squad, and they're going out there, and they're attacking Trump supporters. And I don't understand why. I really don't. You know, my one concern with DeSantis, and it really is just one concern, and I know a lot of you other folks are not convinced he's a conservative. I just don't buy that. I think he's a good guy. But my one concern is that he is not sitting down and doing interviews with journalists. And people say, well, he talked to Glenn Beck. He did an interview with Mark Levin. Okay, that's great. But he needs to be out there doing interviews with folks like us. Because you, our audience, you deserve that. You deserve to be able to have those questions answered. Instead, he was sat down with Piers Morgan, and Piers Morgan is a left-wing nut. And I know a lot of people like Piers Morgan. I'm not a big fan. And it goes back to the gun control stuff. So anyway, I'm coming under attack now because they consider me to be anti-DeSantis. But more importantly, the reason why they're not letting DeSantis come on this program, and it's so silly, but this is true. It's because we're not considered to be cool in their eyes. We're not part of the cool kids table that they have assembled there at DeSantis headquarters. Now, I don't think that's on Ron DeSantis. I think that's on his team. I think that's his part of his campaign. And I think they're making a very grave mistake by not embracing the base of the party. And I will tell you, this radio program, you guys are the base of the party. So now they're coming after me. And I want to explain my thought process and how to respond to this. I don't care what they think. I really don't. I'm going to continue to speak my mind. I'm going to continue to ask questions. If DeSantis wants to come onto this program, we're not going to ask him again. And I've told Grace, don't bother. The last time she reached out to him was a couple of weeks ago, and they said, check back with us next year. There's not going to be a next year. You want to come on the program, Governor? You have an open invitation. If you don't think we're cool enough, well, there's really nothing I can do about that. But we're going to be honest. We're going to be fair. No gotcha questions on this program. We're going to have a conversation. And, of course, all of our conversations always somehow turn around into what's your favorite restaurant. We'll probably ask you that. That will be the one gotcha question we'll ask. But we've always been fair with everybody on this program. And, you know, if you want to come after me, that's great. That's fair game. But we're done responding. We're done responding. People want to talk back, they can call into this program. Look, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And a word of warning to all the conservatives and those conservative influencers out there. You better be careful, because if this thing gets too out of hand, we're going to lose the 2024 presidential election, and it's going to be friendly fire that's to blame. We'll be right back. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Let's go to the phones. And I'm curious to know your thoughts on this, because it looks as though the two teams here, Team Trump and Team DeSantis, are going at it. But this Team DeSantis group, and I don't blame DeSantis for this. I don't think he knows what his people are doing out there. But man, they're demanding you pledge your allegiance right now to Ron DeSantis. And if you don't, you're not a Christian, you're not a conservative. It's weird. Weird, man. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Webb in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Webb. What say you?
Hi, Todd. What I say is, consider this. Mr. Trump has gone through the fire. He delivered. He fixed the mess that was then. And what's more, Mr. DeSantis is an unknown quantity. Who knows how he'll stand up against the barrage that will come? And the last thing is, Mr. Trump is a builder. We need to be rebuilt in America.
Webb, I'm with you there. And I will say that if the polling data was maybe going the other direction, okay, maybe we look at somebody else. But it's not even close. The latest polling data that came out yesterday, Trump leading by almost 40 points over DeSantis.
Well, I'm not saying anything that's ingenious. That the voting, what you just mentioned, shows that most people feel this way.
But I will say this. I will say this. I bet the average Trump supporter, if Trump's not the nominee, I think the average Trump supporter would vote for DeSantis. I'm not too sure the DeSantis team would return that favor.
Because I'm not too sure DeSantis is really legitimate. He could be a demi plant. I mean, I know that sounds like...
I don't think he is. Thing. No, I don't think he is. And I think he's done a terrific job in Florida. Okay. I think there have been a couple of overreaches. But by and large, I think he's done a really good job governing in the state of Florida. Webb, we're going to leave it there because... Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Sure. The only thing is, then, if he doesn't know about it, boy, he better get on the horse and take a look where it's going.
Well said. All right, Webb, thank you. Let's go to Steve in Maine, WLOB. Steve, what say you?
Thank you for taking my call, Todd. I'm a DeSantis guy. I voted for Trump twice. And I know people say, oh, well, he don't like his mean tweets and this and that. And it's not just that, but I've just had enough of Trump. I see yesterday he called Stormy Daniels horse face. Now, Todd, I know you're a Christian. So that's what we're down to now, juvenile name calling. And he just has too much baggage. And you talk about DeSantis' team not leading them in the right direction. How about Trump's team? He just cannot shut up, Todd. And when I saw the horse face comment, I'm like,
that was it for you.
It's like, I've just had it with him. And I don't think you're doing our party, Todd, any favors by constantly pushing Trump.
Trump had his shot at Biden, and he lost.
Steve, we're going to leave it there. I think you made your point. Steve says, I'm doing a disservice to the party by pushing Trump. Agree or disagree? This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS. Pretty darn liberated. When I was in junior high school, I didn't sit at the cool kids table. So why would, we're going to set our own table. So we will define what cool is. So welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. If you are just joining us, the breaking news out of Washington is that the grand jury proceedings have been canceled for the day under mysterious circumstances. And we told you to be prepared for this. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the spokesperson for President Trump, Liz Harrington, joins us. Liz, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I want to get your reaction here. Can you give us any insight, any details on why the proceedings might have been canceled?
Well, I can't give you any, personal firsthand knowledge. I mean, I would hope that it's because they've realized that the entire thing is a sham. Bob Costello's testimony the other day completely destroyed anything they might have even thought they had. And hopefully members of the grand jury are realizing that they've been, total pawns in a corrupt personal political persecution game that's totally lawless. I mean, I've seen reports that they've been hiding exculpatory evidence. I mean, the whole thing, as you know, Todd, is completely a sham. It's an illegitimate witch hunt, but there's no crime that they could even possibly accuse him of, and President Trump's completely innocent anyway. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I know a lot of people are praying for real justice to return to this country. President Trump has been calling for that, so we'll have to wait and see. I mean, we know that they're hell-bent on trying to take out President Donald J. Trump because he's the only one standing in their way. He's the only one standing in the way of these corrupt powers that are trying to destroy our country. And so we know that's why these sham investigations are going on, but we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
And Liz, again, when you look at how all of this is playing out, not just in New York City with the George Soros-funded district attorney, the guy got $1 million cash from Soros. You look at what's happening in Fulton County, Georgia. This reminds me really of the state police back in the day of Joseph Stalin just fabricating charges to arrest their political enemies.
That's exactly what it is, Todd. I mean, and that's why, I hesitate for anybody to just get wrapped up in this bogus New York case, because this has been going on ever since he came down the escalator, right? Now they're just getting even more brazen because they're more and more desperate. But I mean, what's going on in Georgia, as you mentioned, I mean, this is a complete sham. Instead of investigating the people responsible for breaking election laws, which, by the way, we have on tape, we have witnesses, we have Dropbox footage all throughout Georgia of people illegally stuffing the ballot box, right? They could, if they were truly interested in justice, they would be looking at that evidence. But no, what are they doing? They're perverting the law to harass President Trump, who is the only person who's had the courage to bring it up, to say that the election was stolen and rigged. So, I mean, the whole thing is turning the law upside down, calling evil good and good evil. And it's also happening in D.C. with this you know, lunatic prosecutor Jack Smith, who they put in charge of the special counsel. Another one, by the way. We've already had the Mueller witch hunt. We've had so many of these sham investigations. And rather than really look at Joe Biden, which we know had classified information behind his Corvette in a garage, they're trying to drum up fake false charges against President Trump, who had the ultimate declassifying authority. And they're also trying to go after him for the same thing that they're doing in Georgia, which is he had every constitutional right, President Trump did, to contest that fraudulent election. And that's exactly what he did. He always followed the law, but they're turning the law on its head because they know there's no way they can stop President Trump. He's leading in all the polls. The only way to stop him is to try to take him out with these fraudulent indictments. And they know because if they get to the ballot box again, they're going to have to cheat even more than they did in 2020. And, you know, they just don't want to have to deal with that again.
No, they don't. And I hope that America and especially Republicans, conservatives understand they're doing this not just to President Trump, but they're doing it to regular folks, the pro-lifers, moms and dads at school board meetings. They're attacking all of us and treating us like we're enemies of the state.
Exactly right, Todd. I'm so glad you pointed that out. They go after Trump so hard because he's the one standing in their way. But they're coming after everybody, and they're not going to stop. And we've already seen what they've done. They've thrown due process out the window to these, you know, poor January 6th defendants and just rotting away for years in prison without a speedy trial, without a fair trial of their peers. And they're stacking the decks against innocent people. And they've gone after pro-lifers. They've gone after parents that show up in school board meetings. You know, anybody who has a bad opinion about them, they'll put you on, you know, the DHS watch list and make your life hell when you have to go fly on a plane. This is not the United States of America. We have to have equal justice under the law, or we don't have a country. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy us from the inside out. And we can't let that happen. So we all need to unify, really, because it's so much bigger than about one man. It's about this great country, and they're trying to destroy it, and we cannot let that happen.
I want to get your reaction to this headline. This is from thehill.com, posted just a little while ago. DeSantis sees lowest level of support since December in new poll, trailing President Trump by 28 points. This is a presidential poll from the Morning Consult. This is pretty significant. President Trump has massive support within the party.
Exactly right. And look, I think it's obvious and it's evident. People see they're going after President Trump because they fear him. He's the one they fear. He's the leader of the MAGA movement, the America First movement, which is the biggest political movement in our nation's history. It is. And they go after him because they know he's an effective leader. And, you know, everyone needs to recognize that fact. And I think they do. And that's why his numbers keep going up. And, you know, if Ron DeSantis was smart, he would listen to what the people are telling him. They're telling him, you know, stay in Florida. You just got reelected, right? Get behind our president, because this is about so much more than just President Trump. It's about a lot more than Ron DeSantis and whatever political ambitions he has and the people in his ear pushing him to really commit political suicide, because that's what he's been doing the past couple of days.
Liz,
it's about so much more than that. It's about our country, and we all need to unify.
You're absolutely right. And I think if he would have come out a couple of days ago and said, you know what, I know the president and I, we may have our disagreements. We're in the middle of a campaign. I get that.
Right.
But put that aside for a moment and just directly and say to the people, but folks, that's not what is important right now. What's important is the rule of law and this weaponization of the judiciary. Had he done that, I think the entire party would have unified. And I think any person considering running needs to do the same thing.
Well, Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, all of a sudden people are actually paying attention to him, right? They didn't even know who he was because he was speaking from the heart and speaking the truth. Because this is so, I mean, to call to suggest that this is not a, quote, real issue, that he's dealing with real issues in Florida. Well, first of all, it is a real issue in Florida because President Trump is a resident of your state, which you brag about all the time, right? So he's a resident of your state, number one. But I mean, if this isn't a real issue, what is? This is the issue because, again, you're turning the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth, into nothing more than a godless banana republic. And that's what will happen if they go forward with this. There's no turning back. This is a line that countries cannot cross. It's not just about going after a president. It's about going after their number one political opponent and saying that the people don't get to decide who rules them. And that, I mean, that is the biggest issue of them all. Nothing else matters if we don't get to decide who rules us. And so for him to come out and suggest that it's not an issue and play political games and take cheap shots, I mean, I think people really saw who he is for the first time. And it's really sad. And it didn't have to be that way. I mean, all you have to do is just speak the truth and do it boldly. And he's not been willing to do that with a bunch of handlers, not without a bunch of handlers telling him what to do and when to say it and when to not say it.
All right, Liz, we're going to have to leave it there. Good intel, good information. President, finally, President, good spirits?
Yes, he is. He's fighting. And he just cares about the country the most, Todd. I mean, that's what it's all about. He's not worried about himself. He's worried about the country. And we don't want to see this happen to the great United States of America.
Well, if he does have to go back to New York, don't let him jaywalk, Liz. They'll throw him. That'll be the end of it.
So that'll be the smoking gun right
that's
there.
It. That's jaywalker! All right.
Oh, man.
Liz Harrington, everybody. Liz, thank you.
Always good to be with you.
All right. Wow. I mean, it really is that crazy, right? They're trying to find anything to throw him in jail and just throw away the key. That's what they're trying to do. All right, folks, got to take a break. We're going to your phone calls coming up, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Folks weighing in on social media. Betty says, Todd, President Trump's second term and my vote got stolen by lying communist Democrats at the last election. So push Trump all you can. We'll vote for him. Mark says Trump deserves it after funding Democrats for so many years. By the way, Donna says, oh, hell no, I would never vote for DeSantis. So folks sort of all over the place here. Sandra says that enough folks have ditched President Trump, hang in there, Todd. And again, the accusation was that I, Todd Stearns, your friendly, affable host with docile baritones, has somehow hurt the Republican Party because I am supporting President Trump. That somehow I have endangered the Republic. And I just don't buy that. I don't believe it. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to play some audio here. Here's Elise Stefanik, the number three ranking Republican up on Capitol Hill, weighing in on this DA, cut number nine.
I think Alvin Bragg in particular is the most radical DA you can ultimately get to. George Soros funded him over $1 million, and we have this significant crime crisis in New York State. It's one of the reasons why we picked up four congressional seats. So at the same time as you have him politically targeting and persecuting President Trump, he's lowering felonies and misdemeanors, which has been one of the reasons why crime has skyrocketed in New York City. We announced under Chairman Jordan's leadership with Chairman Jamie Comer and Chairman Brian Steil, who have jurisdiction, that we expect and intend to call Alvin Bragg to testify.
He probably won't come, right?
Well, we are going to work very hard, and the American people deserve to have him come and appear, and we want to have access to any documentation between the Department of Justice and the Manhattan DA's office. In addition, there have been numerous members of Alvin Bragg's team who have left in very prominent fashion over the past few years who have been focused solely at going after President Trump. And the other piece I would note here is, as much as I have been critical of the mainstream media in years past that many of you know, even the Washington Post has pointed out that this is a zombie case that the Department of Justice passed upon, the Southern District of New York passed upon, and yet now you have the most radical DA imaginable going after President Trump and doing the bidding of Joe Biden.
That's it. Throwing political enemies in jail. By the way, have you seen some of these so-called Trump supporters up there in New York City? Those are not Trump supporters. If you look closely, some of them actually have the Antifa tattoos on their body. And there's some great video out there of Trump supporters, actual Trump supporters, calling these people out. So good for you guys. Folks, don't buy the mainstream media narrative. Do not do it. All right, some good news, a couple of good news stories, but this one involves DC Comics. Superman is no longer a gay open borders tree hugger. That's good news, right? Yeah, turns out that Superman nearly got killed, not by kryptonite, but by woke politics. And over the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, man, have they been trying to turn the Man of Steel into a pansy. I mean, it's unbelievable. The latest comic book that came out, Superman was gay. That thing was so bad, they had to cancel the series because nobody was buying the comic book. And then there was another one where Superman was marching in support of illegal aliens. And then there was a big climate change edition where Superman was a tree hugger. And comic book fans really upset about all of this. Of course, what the movie, they did away with the Truth, Justice, and the American Way. And they turned that into Truth, Justice, and all that other stuff. And then it was Truth, Justice, and a Better Tomorrow. What's that kind of nonsense? So anyway, things have gotten so bad over at DC Comics that they finally said, okay, we've got to do something here. I mean, the latest Superman was really like a dark, really depressing version. He killed somebody. And of course, if you follow the Superman comic books, Superman never kills anybody. He's like a big American Boy Scout. So along comes James Gunn, and James Gunn has now resurrected the old motto, and he is writing and he'll be producing, or directing rather, the brand new Superman film, which is expected to be more of a bright, hopeful film. And I think this is a great move, because once again, it shows that once you go woke, you go broke. But that does not necessarily have to happen if you walk back and re-embrace those values, those ideas that made you wealthy in the first place. Gabe Eltlabe is a former colorist for DC Comics. He resigned over all the wokeness. And he says, look, Superman's essence is, in fact, the American way. He said, Superman was found by two Christian farmers from America's heartland. He got his physical abilities from his biological parents, but he got his morality, the things that actually make him a hero, from the Kents. They named him Clark and taught him about truth, justice, kindness, and restraint, but also, indeed, the American way, heartland values. How else would he learn not to kill, demolish the world, or rule as a tyrant king when no one could do anything about it? That goodness is the American way. It's true. It's true. And we need that. An old school, all-American, faith-based superhero. So my hat is off to DC Comics, for Warner Brothers, for doing the right thing, making Superman straight again. And again, I've got nothing against a gay Superman, but here's the point. When Superman was created, he was created as a straight character. He was literally born that way. And isn't that the whole argument from the rainbow crowd? You were born that way? I mean, I don't think he went to conversion therapy. I just think they said, no, we're taking him back to the roots. So, again, and I know they've made Wonder Woman a lesbian, and Robin, the Batman, and Robin, well, everybody's always been suspect about that, but Robin is, what, bisexual? Aquaman doing stuff with the fish of the sea? That's kind of weird. And then you got Batwoman, who's a lesbian. I mean, it's like everybody's coming out of the closet. Why can't you just create a gay character? Why do you have to take the straight characters and turn? I just don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. Anyway, we got hour two coming up, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Now, just a little while ago, the George Soros-funded district attorney in New York City announced that the grand jury would not be convening today. We do not know why. The expectation was that an indictment would be handed down, but that is not going to happen. And there's a lot of speculation as to why that is. There are some reports that new testimony may have upended the DA's attempts to indict Trump. So we're going to keep you updated. Any information we get, we will pass along. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have Congresswoman Debbie Lesko back with us from the great state of Arizona. Congresswoman, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well, too.
I am. Very concerned, though. I want to get to your stove, the Biden stove ban story in just a moment here. But it just seems to me, Congresswoman, that every Republican needs to be standing up and saying, we are not going to allow our judicial system to be weaponized.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this has happened. I was on Judiciary Committee during the impeachment of President Trump. And as we found out, it was a bunch of made-up stuff by some actors, bad actors in the FBI, the Clinton campaign, about this Russian collusion. It turned out to all be false, but they keep attacking them. You had this issue that wasn't taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court in the past. It wasn't taken up by the FEC. And so now you have this rogue New York DA who doesn't go after real criminals, decide to go after President Trump, I suppose, just to get his name recognition boosted up or something. I don't know what his deal is, but it definitely sounds political to me.
It does to me as well. And that's why it's so important. This is the hill to die on. We cannot allow this nation to be turned into some sort of a third world country where you have people throwing their political enemies in jail. And of course, it's not just President Trump, Debbie. We've seen this happen with pro-lifers. We've seen this happen with parents who complained at school board meetings. They're coming after everybody.
Well, thank God Republicans have the majority in the U.S. House, and we have Jim Jordan out there fighting on our behalf and all of the members of the Judiciary Committee. And then Kevin McCarthy has set up other committees like the weaponization of the government against American citizens. I mean, we're focused on this because you're right. It's super important. And the American people are sick of it. They see a double standard for people that are conservative versus people that are liberal. People that are liberal get away with just about everything. People that are conservative, they're charged with things. Often it doesn't come to fruition, but you know, they go through the media, they charge people with stuff, and their reputation gets dragged through the mud and they never apologize.
All right, I want to talk about this important legislation, and I would say every mom, every grandmother listening is ready to arm themselves with a cast iron skillet and head to the White House. They are fired up over President Biden's stove ban, but you have introduced legislation that would stop that dead in its tracks.
I definitely have. I mean, come on. There's so many crises going on in our nation. We have banks that are failing. We have a border that's wide open. We have cost of living through the roof. And what does President Biden decide to go after? Gas stoves. I mean, this is so ridiculous. I can't even believe I have to do a piece of legislation that will ban the Biden administration from prohibiting a whole bunch of gas stoves that are on the market today. These people are nuts. Can I just say that? They've gone off the rails.
It's absolutely insane. And now they're apparently trying to come after washing machines. You may have to introduce even more legislation, Debbie.
I told my staff that if no one else is doing this washing machine, legislation, I want to do it because, in fact, this is funny. My husband and I just went out last weekend and we bought a new washing machine and dryer because we were afraid that the Biden administration was going to, you know, have these washing machine regulations, which they're proposing that the industry said they wouldn't even be able to wash your clothes adequately because you're not allowed to have enough water. So We ran out and bought a washing machine that actually fills up with water for our clothes.
Absolutely insane what this administration is doing, but it's really, they're implementing the Green New Deal without calling it that.
Well, yeah, and so, and then, if you remember right, one of the Consumer Protection Agency people said a while ago, we're going to ban gas stoves, and then Biden comes back and goes, nobody's banning gas stoves. Well, guess what? His own Department of Energy has proposed rules, regulations that would ban. First, they said it would ban the Department of Energy themselves said it would ban 96% of all the gas stoves. Now, subsequently, they have changed that to 50%. They haven't changed the rule at all. They've just changed their analysis because people are outraged that it would ban 96% of gas stoves. And now they've changed it to, oh, only half. Well, give me a break. First of all, I don't believe them. First, they said 96%, now 50%. And second of all, even if it was 50%, that's too much, too.
It is. And so now you've got what they're coming after, how we cook, how we heat our homes, what kind of a car we can drive. It's just insane how they're trying to insert themselves in our everyday life here in this country.
Well, and it kind of goes to how the Democrats have changed over the years. I mean, we had Republicans put a bill on the floor to condemn socialism, and 86 Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives voted against condemning socialism, which would imply that they like socialism. And so what the heck is going on in our country? Republicans are banding together. At least we got one chamber that we're going to fight back, and we're going to fight back against these crazy, out-of-touch rules and regulations. We're going to put an energy bill and on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, H.R. 1, next week, which will unleash American energy, which will reduce our gasoline prices, reduce our energy prices. And Republicans are pushing forward whether Biden likes it or not.
Love it. And Congresswoman, we're going to have to leave it there. Keep fighting the good fight, and God bless you for saving our gas stoves.
All right. Next on is washing machines.
I love it. Ken Moore will be grateful.
All right. Thank you.
Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, everybody, from the great state of Arizona. It's bonkers, folks, just bonkers. By the way, have you heard about this story out of Tennessee? So country music has gone completely bonkers woke. And of late, they have embraced the whole drag queen movement. And I want to set the stage for this story by saying, if you have a problem with a 3 or 4 or 5 year old child stuffing a dollar bill into the crotch of a man wearing ladies' panties, if you've got a problem with that, then you are a transphobic bigot. That's what the left thinks about you. So I just want you to understand the lay of the land here. Now, they will say, well, drag queens is just good, harmless fun, family-friendly fun. That's what they're saying. But anyway, state lawmakers in Tennessee have banned lewd entertainment involving children. So if you have a child, you're not going to be able to go into a strip club. You're not going to be able to go watch a sexually explicit drag show. So now country music's all up in arms, and they held a benefit concert over the weekend for the LGBT community, and specifically drag queens. Maren Morris, who Fox News is calling her a country star. I do not recognize that name, Maren Morris. And she got up and just uttered this profane rant saying, I introduced my son to some drag queens today, so Tennessee blanking arrest me. She goes on to say her son is just 2 years old and was excited to meet drag queens. Quote, I brought my son here earlier today for sound check. He's turning 3 this week, and we got to go in the room where all the queens were getting ready and doing their makeup, and he freaked out. Well, yeah. Oh, not that kind of freaked out. He freaked out when he went in because it's just magic what the drag queens do. There's wigs everywhere and the smell of hairspray and wig glue. There's glitter. Everyone's in a good mood. It's just like a room of love. And we went back to my dressing room, and my son, again, 2 years old, said, I need the queens, Mommy. I need the queens. There you go. There you go. Country music, now pro drag queen. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, this news from Capitol Hill, where apparently Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy is what her high school classmates called her, Sandy Cortez, says that she wants to be referred to as a menstruating person. All right. Well, whatever. It is what it is. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our national correspondent, Robin Poffman, joins us. Hey, Robin, how are you today?
Come on.
Now, Rob, I'm serious.
What a psychopath.
She can't use a garbage disposal. Oh, my God. What a moron. Robin, hope you're doing good today.
Still hear me? We had a little dropout.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear there.
Hey, clearer than AOC, that's for
sure.
Oh,
my gosh. Robin, I want to talk about what's happening in New York. Something's going on. They canceled the grand jury for the day. There's a lot of rumblings that things are taking a very bad turn for the DA, and nobody really knows what's going on. What do you make of all this?
Well, it's interesting. You know, so Alvin Bragg, out of the blue, suddenly the indictment is on ice. Can you imagine the faces of the managers at the mainstream media in the newsroom when they learned this, you know, within the last couple of hours that, nothing's happening today. It's on ice again. We told all the grand jurors to sit it out at home and not to come in. I mean, the faces on the managers of the libs that run the country's newsrooms, I could just literally see their faces because all they want to do is get Trump. You know, it almost reminds me, Todd, of like, remember back in the day, like the hostage crisis, day one, day two, you know, Ted Koppel and Nightline, day three, is Trump going to be arrested in handcuffs? And it's interesting to me because I think, Todd, you know, just off the top of my mind, as I say to you all the time and to your audience, they don't understand Trump. This guy is in his late 70s. What is he, 76, 78, somewhere in there. Trump has zero to lose. He's a millionaire. He's had his three wives, his five kids, lost count on the grandkids. I think at last count there's 10. And then, so it's like, arrest me. I dare you. Just do it. And he's, you know, kind of called their bluff. I think he's just put a pin in their Goodyear blimp balloon, and the whole thing has gone poof. It's very anticlimactic. I really, really think it's one of these, arrest me, I dare ya. He's going the full Queens on them.
You see, I love this, and Robin, I would not be surprised. If Trump does get arrested, I think the mugshot becomes the campaign, that's the official campaign photo.
Absolutely. As I said the other day, I think that he's like, bring it on, because I do think that there are a lot of independents in this country, people that may not love him, you know, and all the mean tweets, et cetera, but like the policies, and they can look at something objective, especially the people I know that are independent voters, and they can say, hey, you know what? This guy is really getting screwed. And it's a joke. And everything he has said about the fake news and the mainstream media is dead on and true. And this proves it. And so now you have a case where he almost, you know, this is like a show. This is, you know, The Apprentice, you know, take 10. And he's the star of the show, again, taking up all the air in the room. Every other story is way down in the B, C, D, E, F, and G block. Stories that are really important aren't even making it on the air, Todd, because all we're talking about is when is Trump getting arrested? And, oh, by the way, if he does get arrested, this case is like a flimsy deck of cards in a windstorm. It's going to just completely blow away, and there's going to be nothing left. I mean, this case has nothing to stand on. These are old claims. The feds looked at it. The last what's his name, Vance, the last guy before Bragg in the DA's office looked at it. Everybody was like, there's no there there. So I think that anything could be happening. Maybe somebody said to Bragg, listen, you're going to ruin your whole reputation if you pursue this man.
Yeah, I think that's it. Now, of course, the other big issue is this grand jury in Atlanta, Fulton County, and they're talking about violations of the RICO Act. So this is, let's just say this goes away, poof, it goes away in New York City. You still have the case in Atlanta to deal with.
I think that goes away, too, because you had that juror, that freak of a grand juror who was on all these mainstream media TV shows speaking out. And I think that you could make a very good case that the entire matter is compromised because of her loose lips that are sinking the ship. I think that goes nowhere as well.
Interesting. Robin Poffman, our national correspondent on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Robin, all of this playing out as the conversation about Ron DeSantis and whether or not he jumps into the race is happening. And if you're on social media much, I mean, it is a raging hate fest between the Trump crowd and the DeSantis crowd right now. And people really upset with how DeSantis responded. Did he make a misstep here?
I don't think so. I think that he had to say something. I'm a big Ron DeSantis fan, and I'm a big Trump fan. And I almost see it this way, Todd. In a perfect world, it would be kind of nice to see Trump get back in there. I don't think at the end of the day, if I was betting on it, he'll ever get the keys to the White House again. But it would be fascinating to see him, you know, Trump take two and then see DeSantis come up in the next cycle. I think DeSantis is in a very odd place. He's got to play it very carefully. Because people on the right, I think at the end of the day, like both, and Trump is actually tested in the policies. He's actually stood there with little Rocket Man, the North Korean. He's been to the Middle East. He's negotiated all those policies. Whereas DeSantis, yes, he has run an amazing state, but he's untested.
Robin, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to check in with you as this is crazy. You're right. It's freaking out. It's freaking out the news crowd because they don't know what to do. And that's always a delicious thing.
It's all about the gotcha game with them. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the gotcha game.
That's it. All right. Robin Poffman, the great American patriot and journalist, our national correspondent. Robin, thank you.
Have a great day.
All right. Great lady right there. Great journalist as well. Folks, we've got to take a break here. What advice would you give Donald Trump? What advice would you give Ron DeSantis? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, Congressman Barry Moore from Alabama drops by. Raymond Arroyo from Fox going to be here as well. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the great state of Alabama. Congressman Barry Moore joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Todd, we are doing good. Great to be on the show with you, man.
You know, Congressman, we've been looking in recent weeks and months at the weaponization of the judicial system in this country, pro-lifers that have been targeted, SWAT teams, federal agents showing up at their homes in the dark of night, moms and dads complaining about school board meetings. They get knocks on the door from the FBI. And now the situation in New York City. What concerns you about this weaponization of the federal government?
Well, to me, it's just the whole process, Todd. I mean, when I was in the district doing town halls in August of last year, everybody was like, Man, we are scared to speak out as conservatives. We don't want to wear our MAGA stuff. We're afraid that if we go to any event whatsoever, we might be targeted by the FBI or the DOJ or local law enforcement. And this is just a continuation of trying to – I think they're trying to make an example of the people who stand for what we believe in. And whether it was Ray and Roger Stone's house at the middle of the night and the CNN just happened to be on the same block to record the whole thing, or what they've done to President Trump for the last 7 years is just – it concerns me because the American people, the conservatives in the country, feel like they cannot trust their government to be just fair justice. In other words, just across the board, treat everybody equal. Blind justice is kind of what we seek in this country. It's what we want for the American people. It's a scary time in our country when we feel like we can't really have freedom of speech, freedom of expression without being targeted.
And that's the thing. I mean, this really is about silencing, squelching free speech in this country. Chilling, I think, is a word that a lot of these legal firms have been using. But that's it. They want you to think the next time you open your mouth against the government, there could be a knock at your door.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we saw it with the January 6th defendants. I mean, Black Lives Matter burned cities. They murdered law enforcement officers. I mean, I was here when Trump was sworn in January of 2021. And I'm telling you, man, there were cars on fire, there were windows broken, and I don't know how many arrests there were. And then this thing just continued the whole time he was in office. And then all of a sudden, January 6th, the people come up here and go into Capitol. And granted, they shouldn't have went in the Capitol, maybe, but some thought they were invited in. But the way that they had been treated, they had been locked up in a D.C. jail without a speedy trial, it just concerns me for freedom-loving Americans, people who should have an opportunity to speak their beliefs, whether you agree with them or not. And I think this is just a continuation of trying to set an example how Biden and Clinton and all the rest get away with whatever it is they do. But at any time, if you're a conservative, you become a target of the DOJ and the FBI. And it's concerning, man. It's something we've got to address here in Congress, and we intend on doing that here in the near future.
And I know the media is just dismissing this weaponization committee, but this is a clear and present danger to the Republic. And what they're doing to President Trump, they're doing to other people here, and we've just got to put a stop to it. This cannot become a banana republic.
No, that's exactly right. It reminds you, Todd, when you remember when they found the documents, the classified documents, 91 days before an election, they raided Trump's house, went in there and just made a big to-do, and the media just bated breath, waited outside Mar-a-Lago to see what kind of story they could get. And then all of a sudden, when they started discovering that Biden had documents that he didn't even have the power to declassify as VP, boy, that story went away quickly. And it just shows you that not only have we the DOJ has lost its way, but the media in this country, too, has kind of turned a blind eye and a deaf ear. That freedom of press thing that we used to think was to keep an eye on government, it's now like they're just an arm of the DNC.
Congressman, I'm curious, back in your district, District 2, rather, in Alabama, what are the people saying about this looming Trump indictment?
Yeah, so I think they're just really angry about it and upset. I it goes back that they know that he's not guilty, and in a sense that, but they're just, I think in some ways they feel sorry for what Trump's having to go through to stand for them. Does that make sense? I mean, here's a man who gave up a billionaire lifestyle, who used to be a darling of the left. I mean, he was in Hollywood movies. The rappers talked about him. And the minute he took a stand and said, I don't need your money, I don't need the system's money, I think they feel in a lot of ways that he stands for them. But in some ways, they think this is way, way over the top. And I think he's absolutely feel sorry for him, that he's been mistreated. And it's a shame. But we're glad that he's strong enough to take it and continue to fight, because without him, I don't know where the rest of us would go, right?
I just can't imagine how any other Republican president, George W., I don't see that they would be responding the same way Trump is, because it's almost as if he wants that mugshot and he's going to be campaigning with that picture.
I think Elon Musk said it's a guaranteed reelection campaign if they arrest him. And so, I don't know, man. I think that I love the fact, you and I, and we all know he hits hard on Twitter sometimes. He said some things we may not agree with. But the fact that he's a fighter, I think, is the only way he endures this. And I think he feels like there's some things that he needs to prove. And honestly, Todd, I don't think that we would, as the American people, would have any idea how big a trouble we were in with our government, with the FBI, the DOJ, the swamp itself, had that man not been elected president in 2016. Because, we just assumed that, DOJ is going to do what's right and FBI would never do the wrong thing. And we had heard people over the years say, well, the media leans left. But, man, when did they not take the gloves off and really expose who they were once he became president of the United States?
I'm with you on that, Congressman, and it's good to see others up on Capitol Hill standing alongside the president. But really, this transcends Donald Trump. This is really about weaponizing the judicial system in this country. And I think even Democrats need to be speaking out over this. And that makes me wonder if maybe they are privately, which is why the district attorney has backed away from whatever was going to happen today.
Yeah, I think even no matter what your political leanings are, when you see that they're going to take what used to be a misdemeanor and maybe a bookkeeping error and try to eliminate a political opponent in a presidential campaign, you know, they always say, well, tyrants arrest their political opponents, and yet they cheer the very same thing here. It seems they'd be walking this back a little bit, Todd. So hopefully that the DA in Manhattan will go back to doing his job and actually arrest and keep criminals in New York and leave the former president alone and quit trying to press this misdemeanor into some big felony so he can win an election.
I like that. Well said. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We really appreciate your words this afternoon.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate your time as well, Mark.
All right. Congressman Barry Moore from the great state of Alabama. And he's spot on accurate, folks, spot on accurate. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Brendan is listening to us in Louisiana. Hi, Brendan. What's on your mind today?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Brendan.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you, Todd. I really enjoy your show. I listened to it on the podcast, and you do a really great job commenting on it. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
And I'd like to say this looming indictment of Donald Trump. Everyone knows it's garbage and it's retarded. The Democrats, Republicans, everyone knows it's retarded. The people are going to push through with this. But what's going to happen is in the end, Donald Trump. I don't know if it gets an indictment, arrest. I don't know how that works. But in the end, he's going to be acquitted. There's no case that's going to, in the end, you're going to get him. That's number one. Number two, he's only gaining popularity from this. This is only helping him. Donald Trump is in his element right now, and people are going to see that. And the people that say, oh, let's leave Trump, DeSantis is coming up in the ranks. Look, DeSantis, I love the guy. He's done a great job. But look, Trump has gone through everything to fight for us. We dare not abandon Trump right now in his hour of need. And a lot of Republicans, I'm glad what they're doing. I know Kevin McCarthy, Jim Jordan, a lot of different ones are stepping up and supporting him, and I support and I'm glad for that. But we cannot drop him in this hour of need or in this upcoming 2024. Trump is the man. There's no other president who's done such a good job as this guy. I mean, time and time, over and over. Sure, we may not like some of the things he says. And yes, he could do some better on other things. But look, he's definitely the one for 2024. We need him back. And that's why I think the American people are going to vote Donald Trump in back in 2024 if the will of the people is the outcome.
Well, Brendan, I think you've stated your case pretty clearly, and it's pretty straightforward, and I think you and I pretty much agree on that, is that this guy deserves another shot at it. Now, if all the stuff had been true that they alleged, absolutely. Let's bring DeSantis in. He's our guy. But the reality is none of it turned out to be true. So I think he's due a second chance. Brendan, we got to skedaddle for a break. God bless you. Thanks for listening to us there in Louisiana. And thanks for downloading the podcast. And folks, if you miss one of the segments, you can actually download all 3 hours of the podcast over at toddstearns.com. And we don't charge you a penny for that. So be sure to check that out. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Trump or DeSantis, what's your advice? If you could talk to both of those men, what would you tell them? We're going to be taking your calls coming up. But first, the media, they say the indictments are looming against former President Trump. Could happen anytime. Trump calls it a political witch hunt. So does Alan Dershowitz. He is the famed liberal Harvard professor. Wow. And he's speaking out against the targeting of Trump in his new book called Get Trump. All this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax talking to Dershowitz about the weaponization of our justice system. Rob is exposing this shocking abuse of power, and you got to watch it tonight. Rob Schmidt and Alan Dershowitz, 7 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, the hottest show on cable news. By the way, great news today, DirecTV. announcing they are restoring Newsmax to their platform thanks to all of your calls and emails. And man, did you guys light up their telephones. Folks, you can find Newsmax on all major cable systems and also lots of streaming platforms. Don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Look, I watch it all the time. You can see me every Thursday, so be sure to check out the great programs at Newsmax. All right, so first they closed all the Walmarts in Portland, Oregon. Listen up, all you KYKN folks. Now they're shutting down all of the Cracker Barrels in the Portland area. This news just coming out. Cracker Barrel said that it had to do with the pandemic, but a lot of people are suspecting it's crime. It's just off the charts. Off the charts. That's why Walmart shut down. By the way, in San Francisco, we've got this video up on our website. Have you seen this footage of Asians that are literally being targeted in the shopping malls? And you have these massive just mobs of animals. I mean, they're humans, but they're behaving like animals. And they're attacking these people, these Asian Americans, in the malls around San Francisco. It's gotten so bad that now the city council is weighing in. By the way, they're all teenagers. That's the other issue. So the problem is they defunded the police in San Francisco, and they're down about 500 officers from their full complement in San Francisco, and the people don't know what to do. The same thing is happening here in Memphis. By the way, they just announced since the beginning of the year, and so we're in March, so this is January, February, March, 3,000 cars have been stolen. 3,000 cars have been stolen. You see, we have a progressive George Soros-funded district attorney as well, and they're not targeting violent crime at all. As a matter of fact, they say at least 100 children have been arrested for stealing cars, and many of those, when they were arrested, had already been fitted for ankle bracelets, ankle monitors. So they're literally taking the kids to jail. The cops are doing their part. And then the DA is letting these kids walk right back out on the streets. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so people are freaking out. It's so bad that many people are beginning to move from places like Portland and San Francisco, and sadly, even Memphis, Tennessee. It's really heartbreaking. So there you go. May I just compliment this university professor, or rather this university president. And I hope he still has a job at the end of the day. So this is at West Texas University. And the president of the school has generated a lot of controversy. This is West Texas A&M. Walter Wendler is the university president, and he has now canceled an upcoming drag show. The campus, again, the campus is in an uproar, but the university president, I know, right? This is shocking. He wrote an email to the entire student body. He said, a harmless drag show? No such thing. Does a drag show preserve a single thread of human dignity? I think not, Wendler wrote. As a performance of exaggerating aspects of womanhood, in parentheses, sexuality, femininity, gender, drag shows stereotype women into cartoon-like extremes for the amusement of others and discriminate against womanhood. Wow. This is a public university. Good for you, Mr. Wendler. Well, it turns out that not everybody's happy about this. He goes on to say, should I let rest misogynistic behavior portraying women as objects? West Texas endeavors to treat all people equally. Drag shows are derisive, divisive, and demoralizing misogyny, no matter the state intended. Wow. He then compared drag shows to blackface performances. As a university president, I would not support blackface performances on our campus, even if told the performance is a form of free speech or intended as humor. He says the university should live by the golden rule and mention the book of Matthew and the Bible, Buddhism, and Newton's third law of motion as a reference that people should do for others what they'd want to be done for them. By the way, out of those three, which one do you think triggered the liberals? Good for you, sir. Good for you. So anyway, now they're threatening to sue. The LGBT crowd's in an uproar. They've launched some sort of a petition drive, and everybody's hollering about free speech. But nobody is refuting what he said, that ultimately drag queens are mocking womanhood and stereotyping womanhood. Do you think the university president did the right thing here by canceling the performance? And by the way, I think he's got a point here about blackface. Again, it's exaggerating the stereotypes. Fascinating. I never thought I would see the day that a public university president would step up and say, we're not doing this. So anyway, we'll be taking your calls on this, 844-747-8868. Again, that is our toll-free telephone number. Did the university president do the right thing? 844-747-8868. Now, we're going to go to the phones right after our top-of-the-hour news break on your local radio station. Then, later in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Raymond Arroyo, New York Times best-selling author, has a brand-new book out. And he wants to talk, and by the way, and we're going to have a conversation about school curriculums. And this book called The Unexpected Light of Thomas Alva Edison. That's going to be a lot of fun. So again, stick around for hour number three coming up. Also, folks, want to remind you, we are now accepting signups for our big trip to Israel. We're taking 100 of our listeners and their families to the Holy Land in November. You can get information on becoming a part of the tour. And it's going to be great. I'll be going. The whole team is going to be there. And you'll have a chance to hang out with us, share meals with us, and walk around some of the most holy sites in the Bible. You can get information at toddstearns.com, or you can call Dylan, 844-747-8868. Got to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right, well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So, Tucker Carlson last night had an interesting guest on. There has been a rather nasty, and I do mean nasty, debate, conversation, squabble with Simon Atiba, who is with an African news agency. He is their White House correspondent and the rest of the White House press corps, which I'm, again, had this been any other time in American history, this would be seen through the lens of race, but it's not, because Simon is somewhat conservative. And so he's been trying to get questions answered, but KJP refuses to call on this guy. And, you know, you go through all the rigmarole, and I know a little bit about this because I was our backup correspondent when I was at Fox, and I was working at the White House quite a bit. And at the time, it was very difficult to get the White House to, this was during the Obama years, to get the White House to weigh in on anything. So Tucker Carlson broke all of this down last night on his show, Cut Number 5.
If you want to know what a complete sham, what a fraudulent, grotesque perversion of reality the White House briefings have become, you should see what happened today. The low IQ White House press secretary brought in a bunch of TV actors to stand there so she could promote a TV show for some reason. Why are we doing this again? She never really explained. Mental Health Day or something. None of them were doctors. But at the same time, even if she was promoting a TV show, the White House press secretary refused to take questions from actual reporters. First on that list would be our friend Simon Atiba of Today News Africa. So today, Atiba just got frustrated and called out the White House press secretary for ignoring his actual questions for months. Watch what happened next.
What you are doing, you are making a mockery of the First Amendment. It's been 7 months. You've not called on me. You've not got my messages. I'm saying that that's not right. That's not right.
One time's welcome, guys. Welcome. Welcome to the press briefing room.
That's not right. This is not China. This is not Russia. This is the United States. This is the White House.
If you have grievances, you should bring them to her later.
I have right done now, that. I have done that. All my emails have been ignored.
And the press corps is tired of dealing with this.
They didn't ask about
that,
you, Simon.
I understand that you get questioned all the time and you don't understand what it is to sit here for 8 months and being discriminated against. I understand that you're in the front row and you feel comfortable and you get questioned all the time. But there are people in the back who don't get any questions.
Don't make assumptions about what the rest of us do. Mind your manners when you're in here. If you have a problem, you bring it up afterwards.
What has just occurred this last 10, 15 minutes is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. So we're either going to continue the briefing, or we can just end the briefing right here.
Outrageous doesn't even describe what we just played for you. So here you have the White House press secretary, whose job it is to answer questions from journalists on behalf of the entire American population, hijacking the event to promote a TV show, and then screaming at a guy who wants his questions answered, and then the other shills in the room don't take the side of their fellow journalist, but take the side of the lady at the front to whom they are actually beholden and try and shut down Simon Atiba. Who did that? Well, this is a partial list. That would include Jeff Mason of Reuters, who should be ashamed, Brian Karam of CNN, Associated Press correspondent Zeke Miller. He even apologized to the press secretary later in the press conference. They, again, should be ashamed of themselves. And previous generations of reporters would have turned on them. Really, you're taking her side? She's a liar? Your job is not to suck up to power. It's to serve your viewers and readers by getting to the truth. But instead, they piled on Simon Atiba. Really, the most revealing moment maybe ever in the White House press room.
Just shocking. And just so we all understand what just happened, ladies and gentlemen, the predominantly white White House press corps told the black guy to shut up and to mind his manners. If this had happened during the Trump administration, they would have burned down the press room. I'm just telling you. By the way, Tucker named a couple of reporters. Brian Karam is one of them. And Brian Karam had a very different approach during the Trump administration. I want to play back. We're going to flash back here and play some audio of that will illustrate how horribly these reporters were treating Sanders. And by the way, it wasn't that Sanders was not calling on them. She was. But they would constantly interrupt. Cut number 7 and then 8.
I'd encourage you guys to tune in to the president's event. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
One-minute briefing, Sarah.
Do your job, Sarah.
Do your job, Sarah.
Come on, Sarah. You're a parent. Don't you have any empathy for what these people are going through? They have less than
Brian,
you do.
Guys,
Sarah, come on.
Settle down.
Seriously.
I'm trying to be serious, but I'm not going to have you yell out of turn. Jill, please call.
It's a law, and they have these people have nothing.
Hey, Brian, I know you want to get some more TV time, but that's not what this is about. If I want
to
recognize you, go ahead, Jill.
Honestly, answer the question. It's a serious question. These people have nothing. They come to the border with nothing, and you throw children in cages. You're a parent. You're a parent of young children. Don't you have any empathy for what they go through?
Jill, go ahead.
What a whiny, ballless man. Jeez, hello.
Do your job, Sarah. Do your job.
And then there was little Jimmy Acosta, who was just horrible to Sanders back in the day. Cut number 6.
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Peter. In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can.
You are the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
of... Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people.
You know, I miss that guy. I really do. But I want to explain the difference between what was going on then and what's going on now. Sanders was actually taking questions from the media. They treated her like crap from day one. I mean, it was horrible. I don't know how anybody was able to survive in that type of environment. But the issue with Mr. Atiba is the Biden administration refuses to answer any of his questions. They're not allowing this man to do his job. And the reason why is they believe that he is a pro-Trump conservative. But again, had this been the Trump White House treating a black reporter so horribly, this would be wall-to-wall news. You would have the entire press corps boycotting. But it's a double standard here. Now, I will just, and again, for the sake of full disclosure, I have been a journalist and a commentator for many, many years. And I will tell you right now, to this day, as of today, there are only two leaders who have refused to sit down with an interview for me. Number one was Barack Obama, and the second is Ron DeSantis. That's it. Everybody else, they're more than happy to chat. All right, number three, we'll throw in Joe Biden. I forgot about that guy. So going back to Barack Obama, it was very difficult. They really made it hard for me to do my job as a reporter, because they refused to acknowledge Fox back in the day. Trump didn't do that. Trump gave everybody a fair shot. Trump held more press conferences than any other president in modern American history. And the reason why is because he was sure of himself, and he knew how to deal with these hateful propagandists in the mainstream media. So anyway, it's unfortunate, but you needed to hear the rest of the story there, because their behavior has been off the charts horrible. Horrible. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Somebody forgot to put the meds in Biden's porridge yesterday. Cut number two.
I'm proud to use my authority under the Antiquities Act to establish the... And I want you to know it's a big deal. The Havanequa May, I'm having trouble. Thank you. I got it. I just know it as Spirit Mountain.
He was having a rough day yesterday. So again, somebody forgot to put the meds in the pudding or the porridge or whatever he eats. And it happens. What are you going to do? All right, we got to take a quick break here, pay some bills. 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, Dateline, Louisville, Colorado. City leaders there have now banned gas stations. This is bonkers. I don't know what these people are smoking down there. Louisville has a population of 21,000 people, only six gas stations. The city council, talking to Fox News, says they will no longer allow any new gas stations to be built. So six is it. And if any of those go out of business, it doesn't matter. They're not replacing them. So that's it. No more gas stations in Louisville, Colorado, which, by the way, is controlled by Democrats. So they're the ones that actually, they're calling all the shots there. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Again, the breaking news, and we shared this at the very first hour. There will not be an indictment coming down today. Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, told the grand jury to stay home. there are a lot of rumors circulating that the district attorney himself may be in big trouble. And the word we're hearing is prosecutorial misconduct. Senator Rand Paul is calling for the arrest of the district attorney. So is Marjorie Taylor Greene just a few moments ago. And the word is there is major, major dissension in the district attorney's office over whether or not to charge Donald Trump at all. So this could be a situation where the whole thing just is blown to smithereens. Unbelievable. Fox News reporting that despite rumors of a potential imminent indictment, Trump has not been formally notified about whether Bragg actually plans to bring charges against him. Trump has played this masterfully, masterfully. Meanwhile, new polling data is out, and it shows Trump with a growing lead over Ron DeSantis. I mean, this is pretty remarkable stuff here. Reading from The Hill, this is the Monmouth University poll. Trump is making significant gains over DeSantis and other Republicans in a hypothetical Republican primary. Keep in mind, DeSantis has not thrown his name into the hat just yet. The Monmouth University poll released yesterday shows Trump leading DeSantis by 14 points, 41% to 27%. That's a major improvement from last month when they were both tied at 33%. So Trump making massive gains and DeSantis is losing ground. And a lot of people say it's because of the way DeSantis has conducted himself over the past couple of days. But can you blame DeSantis? I mean, if you know your opponent's calling you a pedophile, I don't think you're, yeah, I know. Shouldn't have said that, but it, you know, there you go. So, I mean, if somebody's calling you a pedophile, you're not going to be prone to go out and defend that person, right? Well, that's okay. I'm just saying. The New York Times headline, DeSantis on defense, shows signs of slipping in polls. And this doesn't mean it's over for DeSantis, who President Trump has labeled Meatball Ron and Ron DeSanctimonious. He also called DeSantis a groomer, disloyal, and a supporter of cutting entitlement programs. Crazy. In just the last few days, a CNN poll showed a tight race, DeSantis at 39%, Mr. Trump at 37%. Morning Consult poll found Trump with a 2-1 lead, 52% to 28%. So you can buy into the polls or not, but clearly the people out there, the base, they're liking what Trump is doing, and they're sticking with the president. So we'll keep following all of this. Look, the president's legal issues are not going away. We still have the Atlanta case, and we're going to keep a very close eye on that. Here we go. I have a stack of stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a crazy story from the Seattle Times. Kent, Washington, the Kent School District. So classmates in the Kent School District received affirmation cards. The cards were handwritten, and it all started as a part of the Muslim holiday of Ramadan. So when the students began participating in Ramadan, everybody got these cards. A local Muslim mother founded the Ramadan Affirmation Cards Project after she visited her daughter's classroom in 2019 to help kids find ways to support their Muslim classmates. Having made the cards, Olau says, her name is Shukri Olau, if someone is fasting, hopefully their classmates will be a bit kinder to them. Her greater hope, reading from the Seattle Times, is that activities like these extend beyond the month-long holiday and help schools around the region be welcoming for all our students. The activity is part of a larger effort to build empathy, inclusion, and support for young Muslim students who are fasting during the school day. And that's why they want the children to get these Muslim affirmation cards. Now, that's all well and good, but I have a question. What are they doing for the Catholic kids? What are they doing for the Protestant children? What are they doing for the Jewish children? Is this a uniquely Muslim event? Are they giving out affirmation cards during Easter or Christmas or Hanukkah? Or are they just affirming the Muslim children? And I will ask that question because in this 5-page story, not once does the reporter bother to ask that question. And something tells me they are not. By the way, the Seattle Times, they actually stopped the comment section on this story because they said too many comments were violating their code of conduct. So even in Washington State, ladies and gentlemen, the people get it. So they're allowing Muslim kids to be affirmed in the public school, but they're not doing the same for the Christian children or the Jewish children or any other religion. It's Muslim centric. There you go. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, just a reminder, you can get information about our upcoming trip to Israel. We're taking about 100 of you good people to the Holy Land. That's coming up later this year in November. And we would love for you to join us. Go to toddstearns.com. You'll see the link at the top of the page. Or you can call us, and we're happy to share information with you. That number, 844-747-8868. Well, very exciting news. Our good friend Raymond Arroyo, New York Times bestselling author, by the way, has a brand new book out, hit bookstores yesterday, and we're excited to have him with us today. The name of the book for children, The Unexpected Light of Thomas Alva Edison. Raymond, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on. Delighted to be with you.
And congratulations. You're churning these things out. I don't know how you do it.
Well, you know, I'd written this a while back, during COVID, actually. It's a whole series. And Edison is just one of these, I think, great lives, great American lives that we've lost touch with, Todd, for whatever reason. You know, whether it's curricula or other studies that crowd in, these great American lives have been pushed to the edges. And I thought we need to revive them, but not just tell their stories womb to tomb. That every turnabout tale really focuses on a crisis point in this young life, this great life, as it turns out. But like all of us, they face obstacles and crises. And, you know, we've got a little motto for the Turnabout Tale series, and it is the challenges faced, paths altered, and history turned. And that's what happens in each and every one of these books. And I think still happens in America, if you're willing to look for it and facilitate it. And that's what happened with Edison. I didn't realize, Todd, until I came across a very old interview with Edison, where he said, my mother was the making of me, and she allowed me to follow my bent, and without her, I might never have become an inventor. And I thought, wait a minute, who's the mother, what happened here, and what were the circumstances? And when I dug into the story, I said, I really have to tell this again, because A, I'd never heard of it, and B, I thought, young people need to hear this story as well. And Edison was thrown out of school when he was 8 years old. And the teacher said, you're addle-brained and can't be taught. He probably had ADHD. And the mother took him home, homeschooled him, and said, my boy is just as smart as you, to the professor. And she trained him at home. And I don't know why Edison didn't become the patron saint of homeschooling, Todd, because I mean, he never received any formal schooling after that, and he would go on to become the greatest inventor the world has ever known.
And I didn't realize this, that Edison struggled with deafness.
From the time he was 12, and he started losing his hearing. But when he was creating, and this is what's really remarkable, and it shows you the tenacity of the man as well, Todd. I was just at the Edison Labs yesterday, And when you go there, there's a music room on the second floor of his labs where he had all the phonographs out. But that's where they would record bands and orchestras and singers of the day, hundreds of them. He had his own record label. Once he released the phonograph, he had to put something on it, so he recorded everything there. And when you go in the room, there's an ear horn that he used, which he'd literally insert into his ear to try to hear the music being recorded. And I'm told, and you see it in some accounts, he had wood attached to the bottom of a phonograph, and he would bite down on the plank of wood. So it was almost like a cochlear implant, where the sound was reverberating through his skull. So yeah, the man who created the microphone, the phonograph, all these things that are so important to our age and to conveying sound and music, he was functionally deaf.
It's fascinating. And folks, these kinds of tidbits are tucked away in this wonderful storybook, ages 4 to 8 years old, written by our friend Raymond Arroyo. You know, Raymond, I was over at, we have a very large independent bookstore here in Memphis called Novel Memphis, and they have a huge children's section. And I was over there the other day, and I'm writing some children's themed books. And I was surprised, Raymond, at the lack of content when it comes to, I would say, patriots and especially conservatives. If you wanted the biography of AOC or Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's there. You can't find much on Ronald Reagan or any of these other great characters and heroes of American history.
You make such a great point. There is a kind of fad that comes into play with these, you know, publishers of certain biographies. And you can find Hillary Clinton, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, and Michelle Obama. Those three figures probably occupy half the children's section.
Yep.
And look, God bless them. If people want to read about them, good. But there are reasons these great American lives were part of our normal education a generation or two ago. And for some reason, they've been crowded out. So I thought, I'm going to create this Turnabout Tale series to preserve them, but frame the story in a slightly different way so that it's very appealing to young people. Look, the fact that Edison may have had ADHD, which all the biographers now agree he probably did, you know, he couldn't listen to lessons. He couldn't stay in one place at any time. He was a workaholic who would nap on his work benches and the work, you know, tables in the office and return right back to inventing. These kinds of lives, they furnish us with lessons, Todd, that if we don't go back and preserve them and extend them, we'll lose that lesson. And we're doomed to repeat either the great things they did, thinking they're new, or the problems and failures that these people encountered, thinking that it's the first time anyone's ever encountered them. So it's important to hold on to this history. And Edison is such a figure. I mean, when you think about the dynamo, the motion picture camera, the alkaline battery, the electric car, lighting grid, all of that was Thomas Edison. The X-ray machine, I found out yesterday at the Edison Labs. I had no idea. Edison created the first X-ray machine. We have so much to thank him for.
Raymond, I'm curious about the research part of this. How long did it take you to do the research and to do the deep dive and then write the book?
Well, people think because you're writing a picture book, you don't do the research or you don't do thorough research. That's the opposite for me. It's actually harder for me to write a children's book and a picture book. I'd much prefer a middle grade or an adult book because you've got 200 pages to stretch out. Here, Todd, you have 19 flips. That's all you have, 19 page flips, and the whole story has to fit in there. So you have to tell the story with great economy, and that means you have to know much more than you can put on the page. So I spent about 4 months researching Edison and went to the Edison lab, went to the birthplace, went through the archives. In fact, I'll be posting the archivist at the Edison lab brought me his original sketch for the phonograph the other day. That really blew my mind. I mean, when you realize he was a very visual thinker. And again, this is a great lesson for your listeners, for all of us as parents, as educators, mentors. Edison's mother taught him to learn not only with his head, but with his hands. And he used that model through the rest of his life. He was a tinkerer. He was an inventor by process of elimination. So he tried everything, Todd. And then he stumbled upon the thing that finally worked. That's a great lesson. Don't be afraid to fail and make sure your child is learning not only what they're absorbing from books, but are touching and walking into historical places and whatever the discipline might be. It's very critical. And that's how Edison solved so many of the problems and stumbling blocks that other inventors faced and had given up on. He went a bit further.
What a great story. Folks, you can get this wherever you buy your books. We've got a link on the live show blog. You got to get a copy of this for your youngsters, grandkids, The Unexpected Light of Thomas Alva Edison. Raymond, we're going to leave it there. Always a joy to have you with us, and congratulations on the new book.
So grateful to you, and thank you for continuing to spread your light and the Lord's light, which you do every day.
All right. All right, Raymond, right down river from us in New Orleans. And, of course, we broadcast our show from Memphis. And then right above us, Raymond, you have David Limbaugh in Cape Girardeau. So a lot of good stuff happening on the river.
Right. It's a trifecta. I should just get on a riverboat. That's my next book, Riverboat Cruise to Happiness. I love it.
That's great. All right, Raymond, God bless.
Thank you.
All right. There you go, folks. Zondir Kids is publishing this. What a great idea. His books are so well done, and he is absolutely right. When you're putting together a children's book, it's insanely difficult. I have complete respect for anybody who can write a children's book. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, I've got to tell you about our friend Mike Lindell. He has done it again. MyPillow 2.0. Now, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike and his team have developed this incredible pillow that is very cool. New technology. It's a patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow. But this new fabric, it is temperature regulating. So if you sleep hot, then you're going to be able to sleep cold. It's pretty awesome. Softest, smoothest, coolest pillow you will ever own. And by the way, If it doesn't work out for you, even though this is 100% made in the USA, you've got a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose by trying this pillow. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you'll be able to get yourself one of these wonderful pillows. And the best part about it, buy one, we're going to give you another one free of charge. Have to use my promo code Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, promo code Starnes, or give them a call, 1-800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. We'll be right back. All right, any of you folks doing the diet out there? Cutting back a little bit, hitting the weights. So the University of Virginia, they've got a body positivity class, and that's where they want you to feel good about how you look. It doesn't matter if you're a large Marge or, you know, a skinny Henny or something. I don't know. Anyway, Stephanie Brenhofer is a dietitian there at the University of Virginia. And she was invited to deliver a guest lecture during an exercise and nutrition medicine class. I'm sorry, are they teaching any real courses there at the University of Virginia? Anyway, Professor Brenhofer told the students that the word fat is inherently fat phobic. And she said that people are not responsible for their weight. In other words, if you, let's say you're going to Kroger and you see some Oreos and you've got the mega stuff Oreos and you're like, man, I could go for a mega stuff Oreo cookie. And you get that package of mega stuff Oreo cookies. And then you walk over and you get yourself some Prairie Farms chocolate milk. And you go home and you eat that entire carton of mega stuff Oreos. And you drink the entire gallon of Prairie Farms chocolate milk, and you put on 5 pounds, it's not your fault. It's the Oreos' fault. Oreos don't make people fat. No, I'm just kidding. We can't go down that path. So anyway, in this class, Miss Brenhofer is warning the children that they should avoid using words like overweight and obese. So let's just assume for a moment that you get a degree in exercise and nutrition medicine, and you're hired as a trainer. So your job is to help someone condition themselves. And let's say somebody shows up and they're like, I don't know, 5'4" and they weigh 400 pounds. That's a big one. And they squeeze through the door of your gymnasium and they're like, and they're like, there they are. I have to kind of put some Crisco on the sides of the door so they just sort of slide through. And you're sitting there as a trainer and you're like, geez, Alou, you're obese. Well, you're not allowed to say that anymore. So according to Professor Brinhoffer, words like overweight and obese are triggering words. And you might inadvertently trigger the fat person if you call them obese. But here's where it's weird. You can call them fat, but you can't call them obese. So when you're talking to your fellow trainers in the break room, you're like, man, geez, Alou, I got a fat one out there. That's okay. But you can't call them obese or overweight. She says it is and by the way, this is fascinating. It is now unethical to tell people how they should lose weight. Stop stuffing your face with the Oreos, fatty. You can't do that. You know, I guess that means Jenny Craig has to go out of business, right? I mean, that's the whole point, right? Jenny Craig says, well, if you want to lose weight, you got to eat my food or whatever. So anyway, she goes on. This is all at the University of Virginia. Brinhoffer says her philosophy on dieting is very simple. And I want to quote this. She says, it's super liberating. Super liberating. So here's the deal. If your daily diet includes a bucket of fried chicken, 6 buttermilk biscuits, and a tub of Bluebell ice cream, and you weigh close to 500 pounds, it's not your fault. You're just a big-boned lard bucket. I don't think we can say lard bucket. I don't think we can do that. By the way, did we have a caller earlier? I think I should have corrected this. I don't think we're allowed to say the R word, right? I don't think that's allowed anymore. So our apologies. By the way, there is some audio. We've got to play this. Now, this is terrible. So you're not allowed to say the word midget anymore. Apparently, that's a derogatory term. So I think you have to call them little people or whatever. Anyway, Bill Walton was at the Arizona State USC broadcast, and now the little people of America are demanding an apology. Take a listen to what happened.
Breaks. He does not need a little chair because he is a giant in a world of shriveling midgets. And speaking of shriveling midgets, what was your name again?
What is wrong? The first half, Arizona State.
I'm guilty of having fun in Las Vegas. Fun with a purpose in the first half. Stats, 3-point shooting. Arizona State comes out on fire. That's the first possession of the game. Des Cambridge, time is on his side. And then Frankie Collins, oh my gosh. Not related to Jackie Collins, but close.
So the little people of America are on the warpath, and they're wanting a supersized apology here from Bill Walton. They say that it is an inappropriate term. You're not allowed to say the M word, and they want dignity and respect. They say ignorance is simply not an excuse, and they call it disparaging language, and they're fighting for equity and justice. So there you go. By the way, last year, I didn't realize this, but Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys used the M word and he had to apologize. So you don't want to mess with the little people of America. So there you go. Jeez, Alou. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Be good. Behave yourself. Don't irritate anybody this afternoon. We're going to be back tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.